I'm new here, apparently.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
And in case you missed it, I don't lost my voice from being sick, so here we are.
You're gonna sing Smelly Cat next.
I was just gonna say that.
A rousing rendition of Smelly Cat.
Smelly Cat, Smelly Cat, what are they feeding you?
That was amazing.
That was really good.
Hot cross buns.
My jam.
So tonight I am drinking Back from the Dead Red. It's a dark red blend. And it's made in California. And it's the cover is super cool. It's supposed to be like a throwback to the Caribbean. I'd read the whole thing, but my throat hurts too bad for it. But it's really, really good. Like, it's really good for a red blend. So, that's it. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I started the evening with a Moscato that Jackie gave to me because she didn't want it. I don't like Moscato. It was terrible. I took one sip and couldn't even do it. So now I am drinking this Pre-Vineyards Carignan Rosé, which we got one of the times we went wine tasting in Lodi. I purchased it. It's a real light rosé. It's not sweet at all. Yeah, it's real fresh, real crisp. Probably much better for summertime, but I'm drinking it now because YOLO. And because I have, like, I don't like opening bottles of, like, champagne and sparkling wine and stuff. It makes me very nervous, and I'm afraid I'm going to break something. So I had a couple things I wanted to drink, but nobody was here to help me open them. So I'm having this.
And you don't want to shoot those fine new glasses off your face.
Right.
Strong independent.
Right. They were expensive. I can't break these bad boys.
Right.
My designer spectacles.
I'm drinking. Well, I've been fighting off a cold for like the last 4 days, and fighting it off with beer and wine hasn't worked. So I figured that tonight I would go a little easy. And I just did the old person / alcoholic sick person. And I just have a shot of Bailey's Cherry in a cup of decaf coffee. And it's just going to have to work.
Yeah. If not, then hot toddy time.
I'm going to have to get Rose Nyland's hot toddy recipe. It might be time.
Do it. Yes, absolutely. Oh my god, you guys, I'm like dying of a heat stroke.
I know.
Over
are
here.
You having so, hot flash?
Yes, I'm so hot. I'm like literally, I'm dying. I drank way too much last night, so I am not drinking anything super hard right now. I'm drinking a Truly pineapple hard sparkling seltzer bullshit.
In a Chewbacca koozie.
In a Chewbacca koozie. Yeah.
I love it.
I love this koozie because it fits these cans so well, and I didn't know that until just recently. But yeah, so it's delicious. I don't know. I'm sure.
Would you take us on a tour of what you drank last night?
Oh my god! So I started with vodka soda.
Okay.
And then it was watermelon vodka.
It's very on brand for you.
It is.
I know. So then I continued with that for most of the evening until we went to a wine bar.
Oh, bad idea.
And I liquor had...
I thought it was liquor before wine, feeling fine.
I mean, I think it's supposed to be, but...
Okay. Maybe not the level of liquor you imbibe.
Yeah. I mean, I was drinking doubles at Fortune Feimster, so...
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Sure can't drink like I used to. So then I had a Sauvignon Blanc at the wine bar, and it was delicious, of what I can remember of it. And then we went to another bar, and I had two Old Fashions.
That's where you turn the corner into hangover hell.
Like, she's a brand new 21-year-old, like, just trying everything.
Know.
Give me everything.
Everything, all the liquor. I also had quite a few sips of Katie's orange juice and tequila, so I don't know
Wow.
Why I thought I wouldn't feel, I thought I would feel fine today, and I did not. I had a raging headache. I haven't had a headache like that in forever, and I did, and it was awful. But this is going to sound really bad, and I probably shouldn't even say it, but I'm going to now. Like, normally when I drink that much, I throw up.
Yeah.
That but sounds I didn't,
right?
But I didn't last night. So, like, that's
so it's all just in you still.
Yeah. I was like, God damn, I should have made myself throw up. God.
Your body's like, you this bitch, we're going to teach her a lesson, once and for all. Yeah.
You know what? I think your liver just said, fuck her, I'm taking Sunday off.
Yeah, it really is. Honestly, I've been, like, the hot flashes all day. I've been like, one minute I'm like starving, the next I'm like,
she drank so much it slipped her into menopause.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, she's gonna be 40 in 2 months. She's starting menopause and she's blaming it on her hangover.
Maybe. I don't know, but my boobs are sweating so bad right now. So yeah, so that's why I'm drinking truly hard seltzer. It
but
is.
But you know what? You're a team player because you're not drinking water.
I told Gail today, I was like, I do not want to drink tonight. She's like, well, don't. And I'm like, who does that?
Okay, Gail.
Your opinion's been logged.
I'm going to drink. I'm rallying for the team.
We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. So before we talk about J.K. Rowling, do we want to let Erin do her little spiel about how much she loves Star Wars for 5 minutes?
Oh.
Yes, only a little because I haven't seen it yet.
I will not spoil.
I think I'm going sometime between today and Christmas Day.
All right. This can't be
all of the talk.
All right. This can't be my obsessed with.
Oh, if you want to do it obsessed with, that's fine.
I mean, no, I'll do it now and I'll do it later. No, I mean, to be quite honest, I have been very emotional and I've been rewatching all the Star Wars. I rewatched all the Star Wars movies before I went because I just did. And I was very nervous going into this for a multitude of reasons. But the very first one is that it's so hard to say goodbye to characters that have been in your life for so long. Like, I cried during the last Harry Potter. I cried during the last Harry Potter book. You know what I mean? Like, it's just hard. It's really, really difficult to say goodbye, especially for me because I'm an emotional basket case 90% of the time. So that being said, when I went alone both times. I know that sounds really stupid, but I went alone because Gail couldn't go. And there's no way that I was waiting. I couldn't wait. You know what I mean? Like, I just couldn't. So I was like, fuck it. I'll get a ticket and go by myself. It's not like I want to talk during it anyway. So I went
to movies by myself.
I've done it once
and I do it again.
There are so many movies I want to see right now. There's like a million movies out. Maybe
Dempsey, just step out and do it.
I will.
If you can go shopping by yourself, you can go to
that all day, all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, that's why I was like, fuck it, I'm going, I'm doing it. Like, I want to see this movie so bad. I'm not going to wait. So I sit down. I was so stupid too because like I had a 6:45 show. No, I look at my ticket at 6:35. I was like, fuck, like 10 minutes is, you know, ah. So I was freaking out. I was standing in line. I wanted popcorn so bad. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to miss the beginning. And I didn't want to miss the previews or anything. So I was like freaking out. I made it. Everything's fine. But the beginning notes of Star Wars, I mean, you guys know, it's just like, it just, right up the spine. It's like I just wanted to just stand up and cheer, and you know, people are clapping, and it was really cool. Like, I love it. I love the camaraderie that happens in a Star Wars movie. It's just really cool with the people that are sitting. But I'll be very honest, I can't really say a whole lot about the movie because Stacey, you know, obviously hasn't seen it. I'm sure a lot of listeners probably hasn't seen it yet, maybe, I don't know. But it was by far the best, not the best Star Wars movie, no, but it was the best way to end a 42-year-old saga that has been with me for 35 years. You know, like, I saw the very first movie when I was 5, and then I continued on after that, and I rewatched. I can't tell you the amount of times I rewatched The Return of the Jedi. Like, I have been obsessed with Star Wars for most of my life. So when it ended, I was like sobbing. I was sobbing. And that's the only reason I wish someone had been with me, because I was crying by myself. And I was like trying to hold it together so I could walk to my car, you know? So I'm like, oh my God, like I gotta hold myself. So I get to my car and I just sat in my car and cried, because it really was, I mean, it is saying goodbye. I mean, like these people will no longer be in movies. Like, you know, like Han and Leia and Luke, they're gone, you know? I mean, and that's not spoiling anything. I mean, they just are.
Right. Like,
it is the end. And it was such a wonderful ending. It was just, I have my issues with it. And Stacey, I'm sure we'll get a moment to talk about it when you see it. I absolutely had issues with it, 100%. But overall, I loved it. And I'm going again on Christmas. So I'm super excited. I will probably see it 4 or 5 more times. I'm not joking. Like, I loved it that much that... And the second time I saw it, I saw so much more that I missed the first time, because I think the first time I was just like absolutely like freaking out about it.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, Empire Strikes Back is still my very favorite Star Wars movie. And I'm sure, I mean, and then Return of the Jedi. But I think this beats out The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. I mean, it.
I watched The Last Jedi again today just to get ready.
God. Two different paths that these directors took, you know, like J.J. Abrams went one direction and then Rian Johnson went a different one. And then it was like J.J. unfortunately had to pick up the pieces with this final installment. And I think he did a very good job. And I'm really excited for you to see it. Like, I want to talk about it.
I just am like, this isn't a spoiler, but obviously, like, Leia's going to die. And I'm not, I don't know that I'm ready for that yet. I don't know. I have like some weird feelings about Carrie Fisher, because I'm like, I love Carrie Fisher. Oh, I'm so obsessed with her. She was one of my favorite writers of all time. Like, just the funniest person I think that's ever existed. And her, she went into, this is like, whatever, I'm making this about me now. She went into cardiac arrest on the same day. She went into cardiac arrest on the same day as my brother. And so they were in the hospital at the same time and stuff. And so, and then she passed away. My brother didn't, thank goodness. But I remember he was having a procedure done, and that's when we went and saw Rogue One, and I cried like literally all the way through Rogue One. Like, it took me until like the last 30 minutes of the movie. And I turned to my other brother and I was like, I've never heard of any of these characters before. And he was like, yeah, like, they're all about to die, you know? But like, when you see her in Rogue One, I was like, oh my God. And then obviously like The Last Jedi, that is, I'm gonna always call her Princess Leia.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, it was
General
not...
Leia.
General, yeah.
She'll always be royalty to me.
She's princess.
So, yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, it was one of the most difficult scenes I've ever watched on the big screen. It was very, very, very hard to watch it, because it is the end. I mean,
and this whole trilogy has been. It was hard with Han Solo. I cried.
Yeah, I bawled
so much with Han Solo.
I gasped so loud in the theater. Like, person next to me was like,
Jackie and Jean, have you guys seen any of the like newer ones?
What was the one, the most recent one with Princess Leia in it?
There's been two new ones. This
All right,
is the
tell
third.
Me the two of them, because I saw one of them.
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
I saw The Force Awakens.
Okay.
Yeah, she so has a much bigger spoilers. Part. She has a much bigger part in The Last Jedi. And then in this one, the whole thing with this third installment is like each new installment was supposed to focus on an old character. So the first one was Han. Mm-hmm. The second one was Luke. And the third one was supposed to be Princess Leia. And Carrie Fisher obviously passed away. And it was very obvious, because they took old footage. This is not a spoiler. They took old footage and shot it around, you know, like to make it work. So Princess Leia was still a driving force in this installment. And I'll be honest, it was awesome how they did it. Do I love every part about it? No, but again,
you're kind of limited in what you can do when it's like actor's not alive anymore.
Right. Like, you have to write the script around what's already shot, and that's kind of difficult, because it may or may not work for what you need it to. But either way, So this ending was, I mean, it's the, I mean, we'll never see Carrie Fisher yeah. do anything new ever again. And that's, no. it was very hard. And I will be, you will sob. I did. Yeah. I know you will too.
Cause I have cried the same... when Luke died. I cried yeah. when Han Solo died.
Yeah. It's the same. I have the same, like I was enamored with yeah. Carrie Fisher. Like I loved her for forever. And like to know, like when she died, I cried my eyes out. Like I yeah, gasped and cried and just, so yeah, it was difficult. But as far as like me, I'm surviving. I'm okay. I have survived, but I also have a new chapter of The Mandalorian to look forward to. So
yeah, the Baby Yoda show.
Oh, Yoda show. Love it. So, okay. That's all I got. Thank you for allowing
me. So we have to talk about JK Rowling and what's going on with the whole, her comments regarding some comments she's made that have upset all kinds of different people. So Aaron is going to read, I think it's going to be Aaron, is going to read a brief, in case you haven't heard what's going on, Aaron's going to read a brief kind of synopsis of what happened with J.K. Rowling in her tweet.
Yeah, because I didn't even know about this.
And it says, I'll just start at the beginning and kind of just go through it quickly. A tweet
title,
may be limited to only 200.
Say the title again. Oh, okay.
Okay. J.K. Rowling comes out as a TERF. A tweet may be limited to only 280 characters, but it can convey so much more. In the case of celebrated author J.K. Rowling, who rose to fame with her best-selling Harry Potter series, a single tweet she sent Thursday confirmed suspicions that she is a TERF. A TERF is an acronym for Transgender Exclusionary Radical Feminist, a term reportedly coined more than a decade ago. To some, TERF is a slur. To others, a descriptive. Viv Smythe wrote in The Guardian last year that the term she invented has been weaponized at times by both those who advocate trans inclusion in feminist female spaces and those who push for trans exclusion from female-only spaces. While Rowling did not go so far as to advocate for physical exclusion of trans women, her tweet, her first in a month, makes clear she supports those who argue against including trans women in the very idea of female. So J.K. Rowling, her tweet says, dress however you please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consenting adult who'll have you, live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real? Question mark, she puts. I stand with Maya. This is not a drill. It may seem to some like a purely intellectual debate that is limited to the rants and memes of the Twitterverse, but this argument had real-life consequences for a researcher at a British think tank this week. The Maya and Rowling's hashtag, I stand with Maya, is Maya Forstarter, a 45, a tax expert who worked as a visiting fellow at the Center for Global Development, an international nonprofit that advocates for an end to poverty and inequality. The Guardian reports that in March, Forstater, is that how you say her last name? I'm sorry. Contract was not renewed because of tweets she posted on the topic of transgender identity, such as men cannot change into women, and it is unfair and unsafe for trans women to compete in women's sport. Forstater was accused of using, quote unquote, offensive and exclusionary language in her social media, which she tweeted to voice her opposition to British government proposals to reform laws impacting the transgender population. The UK is considering changes to the Gender Recognition Act of 2004 because, according to official documents, it's viewed as too bureaucratic, too expensive, and too intrusive. Instead, trans advocates are pushing to allow trans citizens to self-identify as a sex they were not presumed to be when they were born. Forstater filed a complaint with the Central London Employment Tribunal, which convened a preliminary hearing over the issue of whether her tweets should be protected under the 2010 Equality Act. According to the award-winning journalist and trans advocate publisher Kristen Williams, Forstater claimed that she was being oppressed for her philosophical beliefs, but the court found that Forstater's bigotry was incompatible with human dignity and fundamental rights of others. So it goes on to kind of go through most of what she said. like what Forstater has said, you know, like she actually has, I will consider the judgment closely with my legal team in terms of what can be done to challenge it. Like she definitely is not happy about it. So obviously reaction to Rowling's support for Forstater was swift and not so kind. So obviously there's a lot of tweets in this article, but I think what is the, I mean, the base issue here is that she definitely came out saying that she stands with this woman who doesn't necessarily is that is a TERF. That is basically, you know, she does not believe in trans rights. So, the very end of this is good though. Williams concluded that Rowling with her tweet has revealed her allegiance to TERF ideology and what she calls sex essentialism. Trans women are men and trans men are women. The notion that trans women should be or should use male public hygiene facilities, the notion that the equal existence of trans people oppress cis women, and TERFs should be given the special right of consequence-free speech. So in June, Rowling was criticized for liking a tweet that referred to trans women as men in dresses. Rowling's rep later blamed a middle-aged moment, claiming it was merely a slip of a finger caused by the author mishandling her phone. But this time, there can be no mistake, right?
That's what she said.
But this time, there can be no mistaking her conclusion. Sex is real, she tweeted. Yes, sex is real. So are transgender people.
I just want to clarify because I've never heard this term before. I didn't know about the tweet. I didn't know about any of this. So she's okay. People can identify however they want. They can dress however they want. But if you are a trans woman, she thinks that you should still use male restrooms. You can't compete in female sports. Right. You're not real. But you can wear a dress. You can do whatever you want.
She doesn't care how you behave.
Right. But you can't be recognized as being.
Like your sex that you were assigned at birth is real.
How does this affect her one bit to have like that sort of viewpoint on it? Do you know what I mean? Like, how is this the hill you're going to die on when it literally doesn't affect you?
Yeah.
Well, and it's disappointing too, because she's been such an ally to the rest of the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah.
It's really disappointing when you have such a, like a vocal spokesperson, that brought kind of the idea of being queer into her novels, which reached probably more people than I would say rival the Bible. Even though I have admittedly never read the Harry Potter series. And now it's just on principle because I haven't.
Now you're definitely not going to.
I've watched all 7 of the movies and I've never watched any Bible movies.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
So I know a lot of people are feeling terribly disappointed with her, especially because her words carry so much weight. This isn't just some hockey mom in, you know, the middle of Alaska who's just rambling about things she doesn't know about. Like, she should know better because she has called herself an ally and now is speaking out against probably the most at-risk denomination of our community.
Right. So, you know, it's so funny because, like, not funny. It's not funny at all, actually. But this, her tweet, that whole thing was far more disappointing than Hallmark pulling the app. You know what I mean? Like, it's Hallmark. It does not shock me. You know what I mean? Like, they have no LGBTQ anything in anything on anything. So I'm like, it does not, that didn't even, I was like, whatever, who gives a fuck? But this, when you have an ally that you think is like in your corner, not, it's difficult. It was very difficult to see. And to like, I mean, I obviously found out about it, like, I think on Facebook, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't see her tweet or anything like that, but it's just sad that this is where she stands. And that this, like Jackie said, this is like the hill that she's going to die on, because I feel like this is going to be very hard for her to come back from. And this was not a slip of the finger, quote unquote. Like,
right. Like,
if you accidentally liked it, then you can unlike it. You know what I mean? Like,
ma'am, you put words together for a living.
Right.
You understand how important they are.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but I do understand, like, obviously I know not every person is going to believe or side with a certain group of people. Like, I get that, like, that's not real, that's not human life, but like, God, it's just sad to know that that is kind of how she feels. It just makes me sad. It makes me very sad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Jean, what are your thoughts on it?
I totally agree with your synopsis that it's not some, you know, soccer mom from the Bible Belt just spouting off.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. J.K. Rowling has a huge voice, a huge platform. People listen to her. And you really do have to tread carefully in a situation like this. You know, I see that she was trying to stand up for a woman who was being attacked for a philosophical viewpoint. This woman did it on her social media page. She's not in charge of anything, to my knowledge, that would make that philosophical viewpoint dangerous to have her in a position. And I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like she oversees anything that could determine whether a trans person gets a fair shake at something. And so I could see that J.K. Rowling was trying to stand up for a woman's right to speak her philosophical truth. However, there are consequences for that. And, you know, like you said, she's going to have to answer to it. She's going to have to explain to a lot of people whether she truly is a TERF or whether she had another middle-aged moment of standing up for a presumably middle-aged woman who is used to not ever being able to say what she truly feels, because in this society, women are not valued for what they think and feel. So I'm thinking that it may have been a little bit of feminism gone too far, and maybe her tweet was more emotional for the feminism part than you know, she clearly didn't think it through and realize the impact that she truly has when it comes to stuff like this.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's a slippery slope, folks.
I took it as it was really reminiscent of like the old guys who were saying, you know, I don't care who you have sex with. I don't care who you want to make out with. You're just not going to do it in front of my kids. You're not going to do it in front of my house. You're not going to do it at my church kind of thing.
Right.
So it's this whole like pretending to be whatever about other people's business, but at the same time saying, until I perceive it to affect my status quo, how I want to be able to live comfortably and without challenge and without any issue. So on one hand, like, you look at those old guys and you're like, well, at least they're not actively working against us.
Right.
But they're also saying, giving themselves a pass to be uncomfortable. And I get it. The idea of, excuse me, if you've never encountered or had a relationship with a trans person, the idea is uncomfortable. And it can be scary because we don't like what we don't know, right? Like, I think a lot of people would feel the same way if you named a million different types of people or races or sexes or whatever, even competing football teams. Like, there's a million things that make us uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable is not an excuse for not wanting to learn about things we don't know.
Right. Totally.
So, yeah.
So yeah. I think not only was this J.K. Rowling, and we had this kind of conversation about like Ellen too, right? Like,
yes,
she's,
we did.
She's lived in such a bubble for so long that I don't think they always understand what their actions and behaviors and kind of the things they say, the impact that it has on the rest of the world, especially for people like Ellen and like J.K. Rowling, who so many people idolize and who are such kind of an intrinsic part of awkward teenage years growing up or feeling accepted by you think someone's out there that gets you, even if you don't actually know them. because right. that's representative in the work that they produce, the art that they produce. So I think mm-hmm. it's hurtful and disappointing to that extent. And mm-hmm. it's dangerous because it solidifies that it's okay to think a certain way because J.K. Rowling thinks that way. And J.K. Rowling has stood up for these people in the past. So right. there must be something intrinsically wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Anna, yeah. do I think that was her intention? No, I don't. No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it was either.
But the fact now that she has seen that that has been the outcome and not spoken on that is disappointing.
Yeah.
I am just shocked to know that.
I feel like the Godfather right now. I got
I'm going to make you an offer. You can't refuse.
You know what I mean?
You know what? And I agree with that. And you know, it's like I said before, I think that she's for a very long time been a feminist. And I think it was the feminist part in her that caused or motivated this response. Now, that said, I agree with you that it's a problem that there has not been a follow-up to that.
Yeah.
Because if that were the case, you need to put that out there so people will understand what was motivating you, and that if you are not a TERF, you need to say so.
You need to let Ellen know too.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, her lack of follow-up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think it's just absolutely shocking to not realize. Like when J.K. Rowling was typing that tweet out, did she really not realize the fallout? Like, did she really not see, if I say this, it just baffles me that there's I have thoughts that I would never voice. You know what I mean? I just know better. I guess what you said, Jean. She was probably just her feminist just went a little too far. Her feminism just went a little too far. But that whole, that sex is sex, you know,
she should know better.
Yeah. We've had to live with a president of the United States for the last 3 years who should know better.
Yes.
And yet never, ever seems to demonstrate that with all of his tweets. Surely she also has known that about Donald Trump. Surely she should have taken that into consideration.
Don't call me,
she's
Shirley.
Responded to him. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she's
right.
posted responses right. to his ridiculousness and
right.
It absolutely baffles me that there are people out there that literally just do not think about what that their words have consequences, especially hers.
Especially someone who, like I said, she's a professional writer.
Right.
She gets paid to put words together and understands the importance of them.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And how many followers does she have? Millions.
It's not even just that. It's okay. I think it's important for people to learn that their heroes are fallible and that they're human. What's really disappointing for me is the lack of consciousness on her part to come back and say, I haven't been thinking about this the right way. I didn't realize it would hurt so many people to talk like this. And I need to speak with people who are experts in this area because I want to feel differently. You know, racism and prejudices, we all have them. We all have prejudices. And whether they be big or small or whatever, everyone has inherent prejudices because that's how we're hardwired. But when they're pointed out to you to not want to work on them and to improve them, that's the biggest issue, especially when you have as much sway. And it just, like I said at the beginning, you're talking about the most at-risk group of our community. By a long shot, not even a close call.
Oh, yeah.
By dozens and dozens of percentage points, especially trans women of color. they're so at risk, and it makes me sad to think that even one of them has been put in more danger because J.K. Rowling just solidified some fucked up view that some cave dweller thought before. And I'm not saying she did that intentionally, but those right. are the consequences when you have a platform like hers. And mm-hmm. I just, that's why I want her to educate herself or just shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah.
There's options. That option. Yeah.
Stay out of it. I mean, that's, do no harm. You don't have to agree with it, but you don't need to put people in danger. And that's what you did by solidifying those thoughts. And that's why I was so disappointed in her.
Yeah, like, she has 14.6 million followers. That tweet alone has been retweeted 36.8 thousand times. You know, like, 192,000 likes, 34,000 comments. Just that one tweet alone. Like, if she had no idea that this, like, I just, it makes me so sad to know that she literally did not think, like, maybe I shouldn't say this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Like, and like, Jackie, like you said, like, this was the hill that she chose to fucking die on. Like, what the fuck, JK? What the fuck? It makes me so sad. It makes me so very sad.
Yeah, and the other disappointing thing, too, is I hope she's not reserving a change of thought process or a learning opportunity because of pride. Because, listen, you will never be more successful than what you are right now. You will always be one of the most famous authors in the history of the world. Like, you could put out a half-ass Reader's Digest story and still make $1 million. So, please, and I know for sure she doesn't listen to our podcast, but...
You don't know.
don't let pride get in the way of being able to expand your understanding and your compassion for other people, because that's so fucking dangerous. Just because you get something doesn't mean you can't empathize with it. So empathy does not equate endorsement, and you can try to understand people that you don't necessarily have to defend either. So
right
yeah.
It's just sad. It just makes me, I will never get over the fact that she just didn't go, probably shouldn't say this.
right.
Maybe I should text this so first hard. And see the reaction.
Right, yeah. Like, you know, maybe I'll, send it to, like, my agent and say, do you think I should text this? And he'll say, no.
No.
Do that. It's like career suicide, you know? Like,
well, not just for that, because like I said, her feelings are her feelings, and I think they're wrong, but the people you put in danger by publicizing them is a totally different, because I know some people are like, well, I'm glad I know now. I'm glad because now I won't buy any of her books. No, because you have no idea the effect it had on other people's to hear that. So I'd rather just be quiet.
Something that doesn't really affect her, you know, like.
Well, but that's what allies do, though. Like, we need allies. The LGBTQ community would not be where it is without straight allies.
I agree with that, yes. But I'm just saying, like, this particular circumstance, like, unless you're going to speak out against this woman, then shut the fuck up.
Just do no harm. If what you're about to say could possibly cause harm to someone, don't say it.
Oh, yeah, that too.
And then figure out why do I hold beliefs that if I vocalize them could cause harm to people? Mm-hmm. And expand on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
So without any, like, real good transition, what are your Christmas questions for us?
Well, I just thought it was... Because this is our last episode before Christmas.
Aww.
I know. So I thought it'd be fun to ask some questions just about, like, memories, Christmas things you like to do. So this is, let's see. Okay. If you could only have one type of Christmas candy this year, what would you choose? Like, what's your go-to, like, Christmas candy?
Reese's Peanut Butter Trees.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yes. I also really love I really love candy cane.
But it's very cruel of you to say I can only have one.
I didn't make up the questions, Gene. You can have as many candies as you want, but for the sake of this question, you have to pick the one.
Well, I'm acting like it's real, Stacey.
No, I really like candy cane Tootsie Pops, too.
Oh, I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, my God. They're so good. It's basically a Tootsie Pop, and the outside sucker part is a candy cane.
Okay.
It's so fucking good. They're literally delicious. They're so good.
Mine would be the chocolate bark with, like, the peppermint topping.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, that's my number two one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can get Reese's anytime. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine are, I got them at Home Goods, so I didn't even know they existed until this year. But they're Andes Mints, but they're much, much bigger, and they have some sort of little, like, Christmas emblem on them. So, ooh, big fan, because they're the size of, like, four Andes Mints.
Less unwrapping.
That was phenomenal. So what holiday movie or special do you watch over and over again? Like, is there anything you guys have to watch at the holidays?
I'm going to go first because it's not my choice. I have to watch the Christmas Vacation because my wife insists on doing it over and over again.
Yeah, same. I watch that numerous times, but we always watch Elf.
Yeah.
Always watch A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
I literally, like, all the normal Santa movies or Christmas movies I watch, like, over and over again.
Yeah.
I always try to squeeze in Christmas Vacation. Don't y'all be jelly on me, but I went to see it in the movies in 1989 when it came out. I saw Clark Griswold flying through the air in his station wagon and landing in the snow on the big screen.
Four-wheel drive sleigh.
But there's a movie with Doris Day and Frank Sinatra called Young at Heart. And it goes through like a whole year. So you see all the seasons, but they do a Christmas scene in the movie that is so amazing. It's like she's got a new love, but the guy who loved her is at the house. And she never really loved him the way she loves the new guy. And it's just, I watch it every year just for that one scene in the movie because it's so freaking Christmassy.
That's how I feel about Meet Me in St. Louis. Like,
yeah.
Not technically a Christmas movie, but when she sings Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, I can't. I'm done.
Yeah. Sometimes that one powerful scene is all you really need. Yeah.
I also watch Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, but I only do it on Christmas Eve.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, what the fuck? It's Jim Henson, so it's Muppets.
Okay.
It's about Emmett Otter and his mom. His dad has passed away, and he wants a guitar with a mother of pearl inlay, and the mom wants a new.
That's so specific.
And the mom wants a new piano. So they both, like, the mom joins a talent show in order to get the money to buy the guitar with the mother of pearl inlay, and then Emmett Otter with his friends form a jug band to join the talent show to win the money to give to his mom to buy the. It is so good. It's such a dorky old Muppet movie, but it's so good. Oh my God, I'm gonna buy it for you and send it to you. It's literally one of my favorites.
All right. All of the movies you guys mentioned, Elf, Christmas Story, Christmas Vacation, but I'm going to add, and for me, Meet Me in St. Louis, but I'm also going to add in a couple rom-coms because of all the shitty Christmas movies out there. And trust me, I watch all of them. there are a couple that deserve to be on the list. The Holiday.
Yes. I love that movie.
Yeah. And Love Actually.
Yes. Agreed. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then all the trash Christmas movies I can find.
Oh my God! Okay.
I have an unpopular opinion about Love Actually.
Oh.
I don't think it's that great. Like, I hate some of the people in it. I hate them. Like the guy who's screwing around on Emma Thompson. You can fuck all the way off.
Alan Rickman's character makes me so sad. Oh. When he buys that jewelry,
that English tart.
I don't hate him, but he buys jewelry for that English tart instead of Emma Thompson. She's burned loved his children.
Wait a minute. I want to go back to this. Jackie, you do not like Alan Rickman, the actor?
No, I don't have anything against him. I'm saying his character.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like you hated the actors that were in.
Anyone who wrongs Emma Thompson in my mind should.
Oh, fuck them. Fuck them all. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. It's kiss like my ass. Theme. Kiss
the
your
dude
ass. Kiss
that
his ass.
Makes a play for his best friend's girl. Super fucked up, too.
Well, I mean, really, and none of them are great. Because then there's like the Hugh Grant character that's like.
She kisses him, though. Because he has the balls after they're married to go to her door. And don't get me wrong, the idea is sweet. Like the whole, to me, a perfect thing. Very sweet. But you should have done that shit before they were married.
But here's the thing, I don't think he's doing it to get her.
He's doing it for his own.
He just needs her to know.
He's doing it for his own selfish closure.
Yeah, of course it's super selfish.
Yeah, because when he walks away and he's like, it's done. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fucked up.
I don't like that she kisses him. If he would have just walked away and she would have just been like, oh, cool, shut the door and gone upstairs and continued, you know, the evening with her husband. I wouldn't have any issue with it, but I don't like that she runs after him.
Like, you had years of them dating to have said something, and you did nothing. Like, I don't like that kind of, I don't like that.
Right. No.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, every single storyline in there, except for, what's his name? Ah, God, I just totally spaced it. With the, he learns to be with the waitress. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, Colin Firth?
Yes, Colin Firth. Yes, that's the only relationship that I like.
Yeah. Oh, and the little kid. I think the little kid is cute, too.
But I don't like that girl. I can't.
No, me neither. No, I agree with that. Okay,
Mariah Carey.
She is not. Is there something about Christmas that everybody loves but you hate?
The Macy's Day Parade. That's Thanksgiving. Never mind.
I have like four. You ready?
Okay, yeah, go. Let's hear them.
I think Christmas in itself is awesome. I think we should absolutely celebrate winter solstice. I think that the entire idea of like Festivus and like getting together with the people that you love and care about and celebrating the new year. I love
the airing of the grievances.
I love the whole overarching concept of it. First of all, it's not Jesus's birthday, so stop fucking saying that, okay? In all reality, he was probably born in July. He was probably born in June or July. He was stolen from the pagans. If you want to celebrate it, let's just be honest about it, okay? The whole story. Let's just be honest. I don't like all of the debacle that goes up about the Starbucks cup every year. I'm tired of it. I'm fucking tired of it. Okay, shut up. No one cares.
The cups were great this year, though.
They were so good. Yeah,
I agree. I always like their cups. I think they're fantastic.
Right, because it makes it feel Christmassy.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, when they came out with just the ombre, who cares?
Who gives a fuck?
Okay, I don't like all of that. I also don't like the like. every store you go to is asking for donations this time of year.
Yeah.
And I feel super bad when I don't donate to those things. But this time of year, it's hard to donate. It's hard.
Yeah, you just spent a bunch of money there. Why don't they donate a portion of their proceeds?
Right.
Yeah. That happened to me at PetSmart. I was buying another present for Piper. Like, she didn't already get 19 of them because she ripped a hole in her bed and I had to get her a new one. So then I do that, and then it's like, oh, do you want to buy a stuffed animal to a, you know, dog in a, for a dog in a homeless shelter? And I'm like, yeah, I guess, because I feel like a dick. And then the regular, like, do you want to donate money to save a homeless pet today came
which
up. And he's like,
donate to.
Which I always do too, every time I'm in there. And he's like, you can just hit no thanks because you already, like, did the stuffed animal thing, which was like $3.50, whatever. And then it wouldn't let me push no thanks. So then I just donated another dollar. But I'm like, I feel like an asshole. Like, my dog needs a, you know, she's got 1, 2, 3, 4. She's got like 4 beds already, not including the 2 she just destroyed. And I'm buying her 2 more dog beds. Makes me feel like a bad person.
Right.
Can I just please say that the one thing that I absolutely fucking hate that just grinds my fucking gears and just makes me want to say fuck you to everyone.
Please.
The people who get mad at people who say happy holidays. because apparently we have declared war on Christmas. You know what I want to say? I want to say fuck you, Christmas. Fuck you, Mary, fuck you. Mary, fuck off. Mary, go fuck yourself.
Please name this episode Mary, go fuck yourself.
Mary, go fuck yourself. Because you know why? Because you know why? First of all, I'm saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's too fucking long. If I just say Happy Holidays, I'm covering all the fucking bases.
You've got everything from like Thanksgiving to New Year's in there.
And not right.
Kwanzaa, Hanukkah.
Declaring a fucking war on your fucking made up holiday. Have your fucking made up holiday. I don't care. But if I say happy holidays to you, I don't know if you're fucking Jewish. Maybe you're Jewish and I don't want to say Merry Christmas to Jewish people. I want to say happy holidays because I want to include everybody. Don't you fucking know that Merry Christmas is a subtitle to Happy Holidays? Jesus, these people infuriate the fuck out of me.
Yes.
Preach
it, Gene.
Holy shit, where's the Tylenol?
Yes.
That makes me so happy.
So can I say, and Stacey, you're not going to like this, but I hate I think I froze.
Skype,
did I freeze?
You
I shouldn't be saying it.
That's exactly what's happening.
You froze. Sorry. What did you say?
She said she hates Hallmark Christmas movie.
I hate Hallmark Christmas movies also, but I very much enjoy the Netflix one. I watched some stupid movie where a chick goes to an old inn or an old house and she needs to sell it, which is like the plot of every fucking movie.
Mary but and Joseph.
The ghost of the guy who used to live there is still there and they fall in love. And it's the dumbest fucking movie that's ever existed. And they're doing an episode of How Did This Get Made on it that comes out tomorrow night. They announced it and I was like, that's a good movie.
There's this like tweet going around or this meme and it says, what has 12 actors, 4 plots, 6 locations, and 3 writers? And it says every Christmas movie.
That's on Hallmark.
I love that.
Yeah, the acting is terrible. You can tell they were all shot like in Ottawa.
It just drives me nuts because like everybody on Facebook is like, oh, Hallmark Christmas movies. I'm like, fuck Hallmark Christmas movies. Like, I literally would much rather rewatch Charlie Brown Christmas, fucking Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, Prep and Landing. I will watch anything before I will watch whole Hallmark Christmas movies.
Okay, I will say that I watched Olaf's Frozen Adventure for the first time on Disney Plus. That is a very cute little Christmas special about Olaf trying to find them a, like, holiday tradition since their parents died and they don't have any. It is the funniest thing in the world because, like, Olaf's hilarious. And it was such a cute little movie. I liked it a lot. And if you're looking for a cute little thing that's not a Hallmark movie.
I am.
Might I suggest.
Thank you. I'm going to watch it as soon as we're done here.
Do you have any more questions?
Ooh, that's so funny.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Yeah, let's do one more. Okay. Some of these suck. I'm trying to find a good one. Okay. Is there a present that you wanted really, really badly as a kid but never got?
Oh, yes. Oh my God. Can I go first?
Aaron had one.
Yeah.
Aaron had one. Yeah.
I wanted an Easy Bake Oven so badly and I never fucking got one. All I wanted was to bake a fucking cake on a light bulb. Never got it. Never fucking got it. Thanks a lot, Mom. Sorry, I love you.
Sorry, Aaron. That sounds like it hurt you to your soul.
It really did. I'm not lying. I still think about that. I almost bought one.
We got to put that in a swift revenge.
You need one. Maybe we'll get you one.
I wanted one
so bad. The cakes aren't very good if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks for the spoiler. God.
What about you, Jane?
Well, there were three.
Oh.
There was
this is what's wrong with you two.
I know, right? Oh my God. All right. I know what I'm drawing a blank right now. Wait a minute. Oh God, really? You got to come back to me. I'm totally dry. I had them all up in the queue.
Had three.
I had a very good thing.
There were three. Come back to me.
Okay.
I don't remember. I don't remember ever really, really wanting something that I didn't get.
Yeah, we already went over this earlier.
That's why you're the way that you are, Jackie.
Yeah, that's why, you know, Miss fucking Lucky Duck over there.
Right.
Jesus Christ, with the horseshoe up ass.
Totally.
God damn, lying in her bed of four-leaf clovers.
Right. Just watching fucking sunshine and gold dust sprinkle down on her.
Right? I didn't get my fucking easy bake oven, but Jackie got everything she wanted.
Jesus. I'm kidding.
She'd be the bitch that would step right over a sinkhole and then it would open up right after she walked
through. I can't compete with that.
Right? Had that lined up, like, I was like, I can't wait for Jackie to be like, I always got everything I want. Be like, yeah, no fucking shit, man.
Jean, do you remember yours yet?
Wow.
Yes, I do.
Crowd.
I had to reduce it to two.
Okay.
Because I did remember that I did get that third one I thought that I didn't get.
Okay.
All right. So the Cabbage Patch doll, because there was no way my mother was ever going to wait in lines or go to numerous stores. If it didn't have it at the one store she went to on the one day she went shopping, I didn't get it. I wasn't getting it. So I had to watch everybody else with their little Cabbage Patch dolls. They get to name them, and they have little origins, and they have little like personality characteristics, and I had nothing. And then I wanted Wonder Woman underoos. And what did I get? Batgirl underoos.
Oh.
Wrong. False. No. So you want to know why I'm the way I am? It's because I never got Wonder Woman underoos. I could have been a Supreme Court justice had I been given those Wonder Woman underoos. It just set my life on a trajectory of pain.
You know what, Jean? I feel you. I got a Cabbage Patch Kid, and it was the wrong fucking one. I got a boy. My mom got me a boy.
Oh, you know what? That was probably the last one that was on the shelf. She's like, fuck this. Aaron won't know the difference.
Yeah. And
That was probably more of my situation, was just getting things that I didn't want,
right,
which makes me sound like a real asshole. But I guess I just wasn't very like good at articulating the things that I wanted, because I definitely got, and I don't remember if they were like Christmas presents or birthday presents or whatever, but I distinctly remember two presents that I opened and I was like, oh,
an avocado.
I would have preferred an avocado probably also. So present number one was a pogo stick.
Oh.
I wasn't heavy enough to even make the spring go down. So I would just jump and it wouldn't go down. I would just fall over. So I had that. And then I also got an electric keyboard.
Well, that sounds like a fun gift.
Yeah, it sounds like extra learning.
Recorder was more your style. The keyboard was too advanced for you.
I do remember like very much, and I probably never even articulated this. I don't know how my parents would ever know I wanted it, but I really wanted the little like thing that Kevin has in Home Alone where he records people.
Yeah.
And they had like a pen that did it too, and I really wanted one of those. But and the game Mousetrap.
I don't think
I ever articulated to anyone that I wanted those things. I used to get like the Toys R Us book and just circle everything.
Right. Like I just want this whole book.
Yeah.
Mousetrap is so fun.
Uh-oh, Jackie, have you uncovered some bit of dissatisfaction with your life now that we've had this conversation?
Yeah. No.
never had.
No, she got mousetrap. No, she got it.
Yeah, she was eating her easy bake oven cakes and playing mousetrap with her cabbage patch.
I never asked for easy bake ovens or cabbage patches. I had He-Man and She-Ra dolls, and like,
oh, I did.
But here's the thing. Looking back at my childhood, the only present that I ever really, really, really wanted was a pair of rollerblades. And I told my mom, if you get me rollerblades, you don't have to give me a birthday present. You know, like, I did the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I ever remember, like, truly, truly wanting. So.
And did you get them?
Yeah.
Okay, so if that was your, like, best Christmas present, what was your guys' like, best Christmas present you've ever gotten?
Oh, like as a kid?
Yeah.
As a kid, it was probably my rollerblades, yeah.
Your rollerblades.
Do you guys remember those, like, they were like triangle pieces and you could like snap them together and make stuff?
Yeah.
I think they were called Zacks. I'm not trying to sound stupid.
Oh.
Like they were called.
Yeah. Maybe you just called them that.
No, I don't remember, but I got those and I remember just building the shit out of stuff. Like anytime I got a Lego, anything, I was thrilled as a child. I'm even thrilled now. Like if I get Legos now, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Like so excited. Like I got BB-8 last year and I was like thrilled. I'm telling you.
I got a racetrack set, a remote control racetrack set that had two Trans Ams on them. One was the exact duplicate of Smokey and the Bear. You know, he had that black Trans Am with the gold eagle on it. And then there was a white one. And I would just race them myself on the dining room table and then they'd go flying off. That was really cool. My parents should have known then. Because I begged for that racetrack. They didn't just decide to give their daughter a racetrack. I begged for it.
Mine was probably my Easy Bake Oven.
I'm kidding.
God damn
it. Mine,
I loved Barbie. I loved Barbies so much.
Me too.
Like, so, so much. And so I don't remember if I ever had, like, the big, like, Barbie dream house thing. But I had this thing that was shaped like a caboodle. And it was called the Barbie pop-up playhouse. And it just opened. And there were things that you could, like, push buttons and they opened or whatever. But it was that, and then some sort of, I don't know who invents this shit, some sort of, like, Barbie minivan where the back turns into a barbecue, and they, like, camp and stuff.
Oh,
that's amazing. Wonder
that's
Woman.
Cool.
Oh.
Chill
in the box.
Wonder Woman in the box.
Oh, my God.
I also got, at some point, a Aladdin nightshirt after the movie came out. Like, you know, like a big nightshirt, like a full-on nightgown thing. And it had genies all over it, or it had magic carpets all over it, and then it had a pocket with Jasmine on it, and I still have it.
Oh, that's
I
cool.
still wore it up until like 5 or 6 years ago, like with sweatpants and stuff, but I still have it because I just love it so much.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
How was everyone's drinks?
Delicious.
Mine's okay.
Oh.
It's okay. For how expensive that bottle was, because I'm sure it was, we went wine tasting, and I'm sure it was probably like $18 or $20.
Was it with that guy that was hot?
No, not even that one. It was the first one we went to when you found out you got your job. The
one that was
supposed to be like famous for their rosés. It's just a little like, it's a little sour. I don't think it's corked. I think it's just like, that's what it tastes like.
Mine's not bad. I did want to say one other thing about gifts. The only thing I've asked for Christmas this year is Baby Yoda.
He doesn't exist. I've tried to get myself Baby Yoda. I've tried to get my mom Baby Yoda. He's just nowhere.
I mean, you can you could pre-order on like Hasbro,
but they're sold out for like months.
Well, they're sold out now. How is that even fucking possible? They're not even
planned better for that.
I read a thing that Jon Favreau said. The first thing I read, he said, was that they didn't want to give it away, so they didn't want to have things in production and have people know about the child. Yeah. But also I read a thing where he said he didn't know it would be popular. A baby version of one of the most like prolific characters ever invented was going to be popular. Get the fuck out of here, Jon Favreau.
Right.
I get your whole not wanting to spoil the secret thing. That makes sense to me.
That makes way more sense. Yeah.
Have you seen Baby Groot and Baby Dory? How did you not know this was going to be popular, my friend?
Baby Groot was real cute. Baby anything is like real cute.
Baby Dumbo.
And, like, if he's going to be in every fucking scene, like, if you thought the Mandalorian was going to be popular, why wouldn't you not think that the child was going to be popular?
Right.
Tell him the fuck on.
His little noises.
Oh, my God.
Looks, all the memes. I'm so happy.
His little teeth. And his,
Weekly Whiners, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays.
Merry
go fuck yourself. Happy holidays! Happy, you come to Roaring Twenties.
Merry Festivus. Merry Impeachment.
Merry
Impeachment. Yeah, I'm very shocked we didn't talk about that tonight.
Well, we were going to until the J.K. Rowling thing happened, and
Nancy Pelosi was going to be what I'm obsessed with.
I got a lot of messages about the how we felt about the J.K. Rowling thing. So.
Oh, okay, cool.
So on the count of three, we'll all just say our best gift that we've already received this year. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Impeachment.
I was gonna say TV. I'm not drunk either.
Totally my favorite gift.
Impeachment, for sure. Nothing will ever top that.
So Baby Yoda is a close second.
I just want all the babies.
I didn't know I had a Baby Yoda-sized hole in my heart.
The only thing that would actually make impeachment good is if he was actually, like, impeached by the Senate.
Removed. Yeah.
Can I ask one question before we say goodbye?
Sure.
So the impeachment thing, I saw this. So basically, like, he's impeached.
Well, the House impeached him.
Yes. Right. The House impeached him. Obviously, you don't have to explain the Senate portion of it. It's everything that's like a part of this impeachment now. Like, he can never be pardoned. They'll be able to try him for any other crimes that he commits, correct? Like, after his presidency, regardless, right?
Impeachment is a strictly constitutional practice. So its only implications are that of the presidency. So anything that he's done illegal, it can still be prosecuted by the Department of Justice. So this is just a procedure to remove a president from office. So the House impeached him. But here's the thing. Because the House impeached him, he'll always be an impeached president. Like, how Bill Clinton, even though the Senate didn't vote to remove him from office, everyone still considers him. He was impeached. So there will always be an asterisk next to his name for the rest of history.
It's basically like the actual impeachment. This is what I heard, and I thought it was a good, it made sense to me. It's basically like an indictment.
Yes.
So he's been indicted.
Now the Senate can decide whether or not they'll move forward with, they have to. They have to move forward with it, but they're not going to find him. Well, Pelosi has to officially send up the articles of impeachment to the Senate for them to actually start the trial. And I don't know when she's actually going to do that. She's withholding the articles until Senator McConnell actually states the rules that he's going to follow for the trial. Because it is up to the Senate how they could say, we're not going to call any witnesses. We're just going to vote right now. Like, that's it. They can make the rules whatever they want to, which is why there's very little hope for the Senate, but he will always be an impeached president.
Right. Yeah, right. I never believed for a second he was going to be removed from office. No, I just wanted the motherfucker to have that dirty stain of impeachment on his dirty, disgusting, horrific record as a president.
Yep. It's so fitting.
Yeah. Happy impeachment.
And it's giving us great memes.
Merry impeachment.
Merry impeachment. Absolutely.
And we really mean it.
Yes, we really do.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it. The thing about the Senate, which I don't know how. So, it would be in the Senate's best interest to never have the articles of impeachment put on their door. You know, because that's going to force vulnerable Republican senators to have to vote, like Susan Collins, who's in a very purple state, who has already pissed a ton of Democrats off. She's going to have to vote a certain way on it. Cory Gardner in Colorado is going to have to vote a certain way on it. Like, you have all these really vulnerable Republican senators that are up in 2020 that if they vote against his impeachment, it's going to piss off a lot of Democrats in their area. The problem is Trump wants desperately for the articles to be brought to the Senate floor because he wants to be acquitted. Because he thinks then it all goes away. If the Senate decides not to remove him from office, then he was never impeached because he's never bothered to learn anything about our government or our constitution.
Correct. What a dum-dum.
Like, he's even after he was elected, even when he started the impeachment process, he never fucking bothered to learn how it actually works. So,
nope.
Which is just mind-blowing to me.
Just
mind-blowing. So he thinks that if it comes up to the Senate and they say no, that it just goes away, and that's not true. But I think McConnell right now is far more concerned about protecting his vulnerable senators than the president.
Right.
He doesn't want them to have to go on record for anything.
God.
Because they're all guilty.
It's all a game, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It is all a game. It's all a re-election game. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah. Because if the Democrats come into 2020 with a supermajority, but the Democrats went to sleep the last several years because the Republicans put 208 fucking federal judges on the bench.
I know.
208. Right. They will be there until my son is our age.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They will shape the country far more than Trump ever could have. And everyone just ignored it. Because Democrats, for whatever reason, don't pay any attention to judiciary positions until it comes to a Supreme Court pick.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good.
Merry Christmas!
Yay! Merry, go fuck yourself!
Here's to another decade of government fucknuttery!
Yay! Hey, Jesus. But at least there's wine.
Thank God for wine.
Yep.
He's one of those trees.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, and those leases.
Stay tuned. Gene and I are going to be posting giveaways for Spellbound on our Facebook pages right after Christmas. So if you want your free signed copy, pay attention. And we'll be giving some other free books away also. So Merry Christmas. Enjoy your family and your friends. And
happy
maybe we'll be back. Happy holidays. Merry go
Happy holidays.
Thank you, listeners, for all of your loyalty through the year.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Peace out, bitches.
Bye!